Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. Condensing Flesh by Warn is out now. If you haven't had a chance to listen, please do yourself a favor. Go check out that record. The band is awesome. The record is awesome. So please go stream it. If you haven't had a chance, go pick up a copy. It's awesome. Also, Nature of Morality, new record from Choice to Make. Pre-orders are up now. They'll be shipping late October, early November. It's an awesome record. Choice to Make is one of my favorite bands. Super, super sick hardcore band. Shout out to Nate Prosciutti. He's an awesome friend. He'll be coming on the podcast very soon. So please, if you haven't had a chance to go pre-order a copy of Nature of Morality, please head over to the From Within Records website. They have two colorways there, yellow, black, mixed with gray splatter and teal. And then also, if you head over to Rev, they have an exclusive colorway. It's yellow with black splatter. So I'm so pumped for a new Choice to Make record. So please do yourself a favor, go pre-order. It's going to be awesome. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please boot up your Twitter, your Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. Also, if you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing. And if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. But before we get into today's guest, Weekly put out a special single, Good Day, and it was such a cool moment, right? I had the Weekly cord up, I had Bubble up, so to be chatting with the community who was just as excited as I was, and to be chatting with the members about how happy and relieved they were to finally have any music out, it was just such a cool moment because I've been strong in support of Weekly, even when it's not cool, even when things are looking pretty grim. I still ride hard for the team. So shout out to Weekly. If you haven't had a chance, please go stream Good Day by Weekly. It's awesome. They have a comeback next month, which is going to be even crazier. And I'm hoping 2024, I get to see Weekly live. That's a big, big bucket list thing for me. I've got to see twice a bunch of times. I've got to see the Black Pinks, Stray Kids, Stacy, so many modern groups, but obviously Weekly is still at the top of my list of groups that I have not seen, but there are also other groups like Le Sserafim, New Jeans, just to name a couple. And there's also newer groups like High Key popping up, endless amounts of groups that I want to see, but Weekly is at the top of that list. They're seriously top three group for me of all time, and it's a really cool time to be a daily. So shout out to Weekly. But today we had a track down our good friend Colin, who plays in a band called House and Home, and I was fortunate enough to book them. They were on tour a while back and I was able to book them at Program, and it was a cool moment for me because I got to step out of my comfort zone and book a show that wasn't a hardcore show. And to be able to have met Colin and the rest of his bandmates and have them be so cool in person, because they could have easily been on some rock star stuff. I've definitely dealt with that before, but to have linked up with House and Home at Program and for them to be so cool and for them to sound so good live, I knew for a fact that I wanted to have someone from the band on at some point. So I reached out to Colin. He was super down and generous with his time. And I'm still high on that band to this day. So I'm such a huge fan. But if you're out there and you're scratching your head, what is House and Home? Who is House and Home? Please, I highly encourage you to hit pause, go boot up your Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, whatever. Go search out House and Home, listen to everything that they have out. It's awesome. Hopefully new music's on the way. Colin briefly talks about it in our conversation. So I'm hoping new music is on the way sooner than later, but I'm such a fan and I hope you're a fan after you check them out, or I hope you're already a fan and you're here because you're interested in Colin, but whatever the case may be, please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Colin to the show. recording. Welcome to the podcast, Colin. How's it going?
It's good. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you taking the time today to do this.
Dude, thank you for having me on. This is sick.
Yeah, and it feels like it's been forever since I first met you back when your band House and Home played Program. So I'm very happy to be able to talk to you again.
Dude, yeah, it's crazy. It does seem like forever. It's only been like, what, 6 months?
Yeah, but seriously, that's like, you know, half a year. But when we start breaking down how long that actually is, it's a trip, because like, life moves so fast, you know, because in 6 months, like, so much has changed.
Dude, I still don't know what month we're in.
We're about halfway through July at this point.
Oh, God.
But I'm curious about you, because obviously I talked to the people running the social media when I was booking the band, and chatted with you guys on the night of the show, but I haven't really had a chance to really get to know any of you. So I'm just curious about your upbringing. Have you always lived out in Virginia?
Yeah. Born, raised Virginia, Richmond.
Oh, Richmond. Awesome. I think Richmond has always had an awesome music scene, because there's so many bands throughout my years of just being into hardcore and even music in general, and there's always been cool bands throughout my time.
Dude, definitely. There's like no lack of bands from here, any genre really. That's just, we've always had a sick music scene.
100%. And I'm just curious, for you, how did you get into playing music?
I didn't really get into playing the kind of music we do until I was about probably like 15 or 16, when I had a few high school friends kind of show me like what we had in the scene here. Mm-hmm. So I had some friends in high school that kind of like just drove me to shows before I was able to even drive, like taking me to my first house shows. And I would just like meet people through that, and they found out I played guitar, and they're like, what are you doing? You got to start a band.
And when you're going to these house shows, like, what kind of music is, at these shows? Is it like, you know, more like pop punk, or is it actually like hardcore stuff?
It definitely early on was a lot of pop punk, a lot of metalcore bands.
Okay.
I didn't really find out about the hardcore scene in Richmond until I was about like 18, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a lot of just like not so good bands that I thought were so cool back then.
No, I definitely know how that is, because when I think back fondly of the local bands from where I grew up, I 100% wouldn't want to listen to them today. But I think it was just me being so young and just so inspired that there was just anything going on. And the fact that it was like my gateway into what I'm into now, I felt like it was like just so special at the time. But when I look back, none of that music would hold up. Not for my taste, at least.
Definitely. Yeah, we... our vocalist Pat used to play bass and sing in a pop punk band from here called Kept at Bay.
Okay.
And that was like the peak of music for me back then, and it's so funny all these years later that like I ended up being able to join a band with him.
Yeah, I think back there was this band from back home. They were called It Involves Murder, and they were this like metalcore band. And I don't know like why or how they resonated with like the entire scene, right? Because I felt like at times like our scene was split, because there was like the heavier side, the more posy stuff, and then even like the metalcore stuff. So not every local band would draw, but when this one band would play, it just kind of unified everybody together, which was the strangest and coolest thing for me at the time. But then eventually, they had to call it quits, and there was nothing like that ever since. Like there's, was a scene after they decided to hang it up, but there was not another band down there that could bring the scene together. So it was just something truly special to be able to like partake in. And before you started going to shows, you were playing guitar. Was that just like a hobby or just an interest? Like, how'd you get into that?
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was about 11 or 12. And for some reason, they decided it was a good idea to start me on like one of those nylon guitars where the neck is like massive compared to every other guitar. So I just kind of started with that and playing around. And then I think my first electric guitar where I was like, I got to start learning. I bought a Jackson because I was like really into metalcore, and I was like, this is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the store and picked out a Jackson with EMGs in it, and just kind of started teaching myself everything from there.
And did you find it hard, or were you like on YouTube learning, or like how'd you go about that whole process?
I think I kind of learned the basic chords, and then from then on I would just look up tabs to like everything. I would like find a song that I really liked and I was like, oh, this is kind of easy. Mm-hmm. And I would just figure it out, I guess.
I think that's awesome, because to this day I still don't know how to play any instrument. Like, I can make noise, but I cannot play anything with any sort of talent.
Me neither.
I beg to differ. that's cool. And so you're getting taken to shows by your friends when you said like around like 15, 16. And at what point did you realize like this is something that's probably going to be a part of your life for a really long time?
We had a pretty special house show venue that it was called Yellow House.
Okay.
And it was like the first time I went to a show where there was like maybe less than 20 people there, and I was like, oh, this is cool. This is like something not a lot of people know about. And it was just cool. I'm like, this is in someone's living room, and I'd never seen anything like that before. So I think once I witnessed that and I got to experience that for the first time, I was like, okay, this is cool. I just want to keep doing this.
I commend those people that are willing to have house shows inside their house. It's, to me, it's just so crazy, because just when you think about the idea of a show, you know, and you think about how crazy it is when it's even in a normal venue. So for people to be crazy enough to even want to host it in their own house, it's crazy.
I could never. The amount of damage I saw done to that house was insane. They just moved everything out of the living room, and people would just smash the windows, or someone would fall into the back of the window. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, cool. So they'd get it fixed, and then someone would fall into the other window. So they started boarding up the windows with like doors, and like every single time they would have to like screw them in so no one would break the windows. Until one time someone was crowd surfing and pulled the ceiling fan down, like out of the ceiling. And yeah, I'll never have a house show in my house.
It's crazy. Yeah, because people who show up, you know, obviously there's like some level of respect, but then at the same time, it's like in the heat of the moment, like it's not their house. So people get crazy and want to rip ceiling fans out of the ceiling, which is insane. I remember I went to this house show, and apparently the girl was putting it on without like her parents' consent. So when the show started, the carpet was white. And by the time the show ended, like the center of like the room was like brown and black. And I remember like the girl's grandma came home early and was freaking out, which back then I was like, oh, why is she so mad? Like, we'll all just leave. But then like as an adult thinking about now, like all the, like just the expenses of like to the damage, and you know, that's your house to have it like raided by a bunch of like teenagers and young adults. It's crazy. So yeah, that's something that I would never do, because I just couldn't trust strangers enough to be that respectful in my own house, you know?
Yeah. Half of my band lived together at one point, and they lived down the street from where I live now. Mm-hmm. And they threw house shows pretty often. And we were just convinced that people were jumping so much that the floor was going to cave in. That's like, there was the basement underneath where one of them like lived. Mm-hmm. We thought the house was going to collapse.
That's scary. There was I remember on, it had been like Twitter or Instagram or something. I remember seeing like a crazy clip of like a house party inside of like an apartment building in like the, like, I'm assuming it's the living room, because that's where, like there was like a ton of people, and like, yeah, it just like caved in and they fell into the neighbor's apartment. And that's just crazy, because I'd be so pissed off if I was the neighbor below and the whole party just fell into your apartment.
There was a party here somewhere in Richmond that just a bunch of high schoolers went to at one point, and same exact thing happened. It was like a two-story house and someone just collapsed through the ceiling. It was so sick.
Yeah, it'd be wild to be there and experience it, but yeah, I would not want to be involved with like anybody who actually like owned the home or just anything to do with like having to have hosted that event.
Yeah, I'll laugh from a distance.
100%. So for you being out in Richmond, do you find that the type of music that you play in like the hardcore scene, is there a lot of crossover out there?
Not as much. There will definitely be like a couple shows here and there. Mm-hmm. For instance, I think later, yeah, in a couple weeks, we're playing a show with our friends in Victim of Suffering, and then we're playing with Your Spirit Dies as like a benefit show, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool to be asked to be a part of. We always have like some homies that we'll always try to have on like local bills when we can. You don't see it too often because there's not a whole lot of other bands that kind of get along with like heavier bands that kind of sound like us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better examples was like our friend Jesse put on a fest recently called LTC Fest. And it was just a bunch of like adjacent bands where it was just kind of everyone getting together, which was really cool to see.
And do you think maybe you can try to bridge that gap, since you I feel like you guys have that band, asking like about House and Home, that have that sound, and obviously you guys are into that type of music, and maybe instead of you guys going to hardcore, or maybe bringing hardcore to like you guys, if that makes sense.
Dude, yeah, I would love to. I would love to play some more like crossbill shows. We've actually been put on a couple times. Ace has hit us up, and we've played a couple shows with we played with No Pressure and End It, mm-hmm. back at one of like our venues here in Richmond a year ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I can't remember, time's not real. But that was a really cool show, and I would love to do some more stuff like that for sure.
100%. Because just thinking about that lineup, you know, End It is from Baltimore, super awesome band, and then even No Pressure, they're super sick, and I feel like the type of music that they're playing, I feel like they're doing it like perfect, because like yeah. these days I feel like that's probably like the one band that I listen to most. Like I can't get over that LP,
so good, and the new song they just put out too, so good.
100%. Yeah, and it's been fun to be able to watch them rise, right? Because there's this, obviously like they've all been in bands before No Pressure, but for them to just to be able to just to witness from them, you know, especially out here, I remember going to their show at Program, and people just being so excited for them to be able to come out here and do that venue, and then even just on their most recent tour over here in the U.S., just the types of venues that they were playing out here in California, it was just a really cool thing to see, and I'm just happy that a band like that can still have great success, with them just doing it, on their own.
Yeah, very sick.
And I'm just curious about your bands. I want to start with House and Home. One of my favorites. I was so happy when Josh White reached out to me and asked if I could help with a date in Southern California, and he sent me the lineup, and I was just really stoked on House and Home. But I'm curious, can you talk about the origins of that band, how it all came together?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said earlier, Pat used to play in like a pretty big Richmond pop punk band. I think they ended about 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they broke up, he started jamming with our drummer Matt at the time. I believe they lived together then when they started the band. And our guitarist Joey, he just kind of got roped along. I think he worked at Sam Ash at the time, and then Matt had come in, and they just started talking about jamming, and I think they got together. Unfortunately, I wasn't there from the very beginning. It was kind of the three of them in 2017 when the band started.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't come along much later to like 2020 during like the lockdown of everything. They're like, yeah, you can come in. But yeah, they got together and they wrote pretty much everything up into the album right before I joined.
Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you joining the band, about 3 years after it started? Was it like an easy process? Was it something you even wanted to do back then?
Yeah, I was playing in another band at the time, and I knew they needed a bass player. So I was like jokingly like, yo, I'll do it. They're like, sure. And they're like, do you know how to play? I was like, yeah, I mean, I can figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I had all of the songs, like the unreleased stuff, and I went home and learned everything super quick. And I was like, I've got to figure this out right now. I need to join. So I went home and taught myself all the parts, and I was just like, yo, let me come over and jam at some point. And they're like, okay. So I just started playing with them. There was no rush because there's no shows. Everything was already locked down at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So they just kind of had me jamming like once a week with them for pretty much a year until they were like, all right, you can join. They really wanted me to like tour first as like a fill-in so they could like get a good vibe mm-hmm. before they were like, I don't know. But shows were just on pause for so long. They were just like, all right, he can join.
And what was your relationship like with them? Did you know them pretty well beforehand?
Yeah, I kind of knew them just from playing shows. Like I would, in my old band, play their house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they just knew me from going to shows. And after starting a band, I got to know everyone like pretty well.
Okay. That's awesome. That's cool that you know, you reached out because you saw an opportunity, and the fact that you were able to get it and, you know, take full advantage of it. I think that's really awesome. Sometimes people can, you know, want something, but when it's actually presented and they're given an opportunity, they might get you know, gun shy, or they might realize that that's not what they really want to do. But for you to have been able to fill that spot, I think is really awesome.
Yeah, I definitely slid in at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the other band, but before that you were in, did that just ended up like fizzling out?
Yeah, it still kind of exists. It's just kind of like whenever we get around to it at this point, it's still out there.
Okay. And can you speak about that band?
Yeah. I started a band in 2018, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Fanfare. And that was just like kind of all I was focusing on up until I joined House and Home.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of became, I was juggling two things at once. And then pretty up until like a year ago, I would say, it just kind of like started fizzling out and kind of fading into the background, but you know, it could always come back around.
Okay.
Just something on the back burner.
Yeah, and I've listened to Fanfare. I thought the music was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I like that you're not closing the door on the band. The fact that it's still open and that you're gonna that you guys can do it when you have time. I think that's really cool.
I've just always got like different ideas, and I just always want to start something and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point I might be like, all right, let's come back around to this, or start something else, or start a hardcore band, start like a different type of band, start like a grunge band or something like that. I just think it's fun to just come up with different ideas, and I usually will think of something that doesn't fit with the sound of House and Home or Fanfare, and I'm like, okay, I can save this and maybe do something later with it.
Mm-hmm. And have you thought about actually starting like a hardcore band, or even reaching out to other people in the scene, or even with your own bandmates?
Definitely. Yeah. I've been sitting on just a couple demos. And one of my best friends, Miles, he played in Fanfare with me.
Mm-hmm.
He has always wanted to front a band. So we've just been in the works of demoing some stuff out and hopefully getting some stuff out there by like the end of this year.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I think it's really cool that, even while doing House and Home, that you're still so you know, wanting to do other stuff, but like you have these creative juices. I think that's really cool and really important, you know, to have someone like that in the scene, because people could get complacent or you know, just get over it. But for you, it sounds like you're you know, just wanting to do a whole lot.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just, there's so many things. It might just be like the ADHD brain, but it's like I want to do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. So I want to take it back to that tour that House at Home did, the one that mm-hmm. you know, came out here to California. Can you talk about what that experience was like for you? And was that your first tour with them?
No. My first tour was back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I think fall of that year. Right around when shows were like actually starting to come back. But the tour in January was awesome. That was our first time ever like going out that far west.
Mm-hmm.
And it like had always been a dream of mine. I was like, I always just want to like go travel to these different places I've never been to with my friends and get to play in all these different places that I've always like kind of looked up to.
Yeah.
And starting from where we were at home and then going across the country and back in like less than 2 weeks is just an insane idea to me. Like, I have no idea how we pulled that off, but it's so cool. And especially making it out to like the exact opposite side of the country. Like, I've never thought I'd make it to California in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to play a venue like program that I've just only ever seen clips of, and I'm like, that's so cool. That's the coolest thing. If I ever get to do that, it's nuts. And I'm sure you saw, we were like freaking out the whole time we were there. We were like, there's no way this is real. Like, I only see this in YouTube videos.
You know, I feel like one of the coolest things for me about that show is a lot of people who I'm close with weren't really familiar with the lineup, but I was just like, yo, I was like, just trust me, just roll out. These bands are awesome. I was like, just for sure, check them out before the show. And I just remember a lot of people reaching out to me afterwards and talking about how much they really enjoyed House and Home and how they were surprised that they had never even heard of you guys before. But I was like, dude, I was in the same boat before I got asked to book that show. But once I, you know, got asked and checked you guys out, I was like, yo, I was like, I need to tell everybody about how sick this band is, because I love the style that you guys play. And I think that the music that you guys have put out has been awesome.
Dude, that rocks. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no. Like I said, it's all, you know, it's all because of the music that you guys have created. And so I think it's really cool. And I look back at that show fondly, and it even like, it, sometimes I even forget, because I do like these, like, you know, like vlogs, whatever. And even back then when I was like vlogging on my phone, like I have like, you know, a couple, I think my like one or two songs from your guys' set in my vlog. And I think back about that time, and I'm like, hey, it's crazy to think, because like I mentioned earlier, it feels like it's been so long since that show has happened. And it's like, damn, it's like, I've been vlogging for that long too. That's pretty crazy.
Dude, no, it's awesome. And just like the reaction we got while we were there was like so surreal, because a band like us, like, you go on tour, you're like, I played to 10 people tonight, that's awesome. It was just like a packed room. We were like, what is happening right now? So I can't thank you enough for letting us come out there and play program. That was so sick.
And that's my biggest thing too, is like, whenever I did shows, my biggest thing is like, I want the bands to have the best experience that I could put on, so that when they leave, they can you know, tell their friends, and hopefully like word spreads and people want to come out and play. So to hear you you know, speak about your experience in a positive light so many months later, that makes me happy, and it feels like I did the right thing.
Dude, yeah, it I just still can't believe it happened. And shout out Stateside too. I found out about them from that show. And they're just like the nicest dudes. I was able to catch them when they came through Richmond earlier this year, a couple months ago.
Okay, that's very awesome. I had no idea. I actually just saw them two nights ago. Nice. And dude, they've only gotten better since the last time you probably saw them. Like the music that they're about to drop with New Morality Zine and Extinction Burst from out here, I'm confident in saying that it's going to take them to like another level, because it's just, like, the music's really good.
The singles are sick. I've checked them both out so far. They're really tight.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, they shot a music video for like, I guess, like the final single. I think it's the final single. And I think that comes out the same day the record drops, on the 21st of this month. So we're just like a couple days away. And yeah, I'm so happy for them. And just seeing them like the other night, and just knowing, and just being able to witness like the kind of reaction that they've had, and just locally, right? Because those guys have all been in bands before that I felt like could have gone a lot further, but for some reason it seems like Stateside is just clicking with everybody out here, and not even just out here, but yeah, like I was able to catch them on that tour in Philly, just because I was out there on vacation, and I didn't even think about the days lining up, but I like posted about me being in Philly, and like, you know, Stateside, those are my friends, so they hit me up and they're like, yo, like, are you gonna be in Philly tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, it's like my last night, like, what's up? I'm like, dude, like, we're playing, like, come out. So I was able to go catch them, and it was crazy because we're, you know, in Philly, and I didn't, and no diss, but like, I didn't think anybody would actually know who they were, but they had like, you know, like I was like over listening to them, like talking to people. And like, I overheard like kids telling them like, yeah, like we drove a couple hours, 'cause like we've been wanting to see you guys and shit. And I'm like, damn, that's really awesome. And it's cool that they're actually like, not just locally, but even in other parts of the country, it seems like people like are really into this band.
That rocks.
Yeah. But getting back to House and Home, yeah, what's up with the band these days? Because I saw more recently you guys posted that there was like you guys recorded a live set, and you guys posted that song. Do you guys have like anything coming up, like any tours or any new music?
Nothing on the books right now, touring wise. Trying to just set up a couple shows here and there, and hopefully something coming up like fall, winter time. Mm-hmm. We've just been like hard at it demoing. We've been in the studio. The guy that runs our label has like a little studio, like right down the street from here.
Oh, that's awesome. And
he's letting us use like the B room while the A room is being used, just to track like drums, do some demo stuff. So we're like finalizing some pre-production stuff, like on a couple songs right now. And then after that, we're thinking about dropping like a couple singles, and then we're just going into like full writing mode for another album.
Okay. And when you decide to drop these singles, could there be like a music video attached? I know that's something you've done in the past.
Definitely. I hope so. I want to do something else. We were able to do a music video for the last release we did, just for one of the songs off the EP. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do, it was more of like a recap of like a tour we did, with just a bunch of clips here and there. I would love to do like a full, like fleshed out music video. They've done a couple before without, like before I joined. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do something like that for those releases.
And you mentioned the record label. Can you talk about Open Your Ears Records?
Yeah, definitely. They are like a Richmond-based label. Mm-hmm. Adam, the guy that runs it, has been putting in a bunch of work and finding a bunch of bands from all over the place. It's like a very small team. It's like him and two other people, maybe three other people. Mm-hmm. Just kind of doing everything behind the scenes, and they're just like slowly growing, and it's cool. They have like their own little headquarters here, kind of like building. He's got like an office space with some studios in there. And they kind of approached the band right before the album came out. And just like tried to see what was good. The album was pretty much done, and he's like, I want to do this with you guys. And it just ended up working out, and it's been great. They've been nothing but like the best to us, and have just taken care of us the whole way.
That's really awesome to hear. Was it important for you to want to be on a local label? Because obviously there's like a ton of labels across the world, and a lot of really good labels too. But when I look into Open Your Ear Records and see that they're a local label from your area, and for you guys to be working with them and having success, I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, we definitely like had the record shopped to a bunch of different labels. And we were kind of one of the first bands that they approached. I believe we were the third release.
Okay.
For the label. There were two other bands that got signed before us. And we were like, hey, why not? Like, this could be good for us. And it's just been like the best.
Yeah, I think it's really cool for a band and a label from the same scene working together, and especially you mentioned like the third band to come out on that label, and for you guys to take a chance on them, and for them to take a chance on you. I think that's a really cool relationship, and you guys can kind of grow together.
Definitely. Yeah, it's been a learning experience just like on both of our ends, and I think we've kind of both helped each other grow. Them probably helping us more than we've helped them, but I'm super appreciative of Adam and everyone at Open Your Ears.
100%. And I hope people go check out the label and all the other bands on there, because I think that's really cool to, and it's not easy to do a label, right? Everything takes work, but when you think about a label and the amount of money to invest and being responsible for a band's career, or even just having any responsibility like over a band, and for them to, and for you guys to have that trust with each other, I think it's really awesome. And it's not an easy thing to do to just start a label.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, and you mentioned that you guys were going to go full album mode coming up shortly. Is this something that we'll see the light of day this year, or is it going to be a little later, like bleeding into next year?
Probably a little next year. I'm hoping we can put something out before the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some studio time booked next month to get stuff like officially laid down.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just going to do 2-3 songs if we can.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good too, because obviously the last record came out in 2022, and not every band can step away for an extended period of time and still have that loyal fan base. So mm-hmm. I always think it's cool just to not an album every year, because that can be a little too much. But it can be done right. Yeah, but I think it'd be awesome if you guys were able to release those couple of songs before the end of the year. And as far as wanting to do more shows, I think that's a really good way to stay relevant, right? Because you can put out the record, and then I always favor when bands put out an album and then actually give it time to exist, because sometimes I feel like some bands can move on too fast and things can get lost when the new stuff comes out. So I think it's really cool that you guys do have that time to let the last record live and people to discover it and grow with it, but also playing shows is something really important and a great way to kind of remind people that, hey, like, we're still here.
Definitely, yeah. And if anyone listening to this needs anyone to take out on tour, hit us up. We'll do whatever.
Yeah. And is that something that you guys have wanted or even had an idea of maybe like trying to find? Because I know booking agents can be weird, but also very helpful, because I have friends that that's like their full-time job, is that they book tours. And I think that that's really awesome, because it can definitely be a headache. But have you ever thought about trying to find somebody even maybe local to be that person for you, or even someone on a bigger scale?
Yeah. We worked with a booking agent in the past, mm-hmm. and it just ended up not really working out too well.
Yeah.
That tour that we were able to book, that was with Sun Title, and I think that they were booking with Josh at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of through them, and we were just kind of like piggybacking along, like, sure, yeah, we'll come along.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been on the search for someone to kind of help with that. Because right now we're kind of doing everything ourselves and just reaching out to venues on our own behalf. And then kind of if we are going out with a different band, just kind of splitting that workload. Like, all right, you take these days, we take these days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think in the future we would love to have someone like help with that kind of workload.
Okay. Now I'm just thinking about it, like, how crazy would it be down the road, House and Home stateside full U.S. tour?
Hey, send them my way. My people will be in touch with their people.
I
would love to.
Tomorrow, I'm actually sitting down with Lemus. We're going to film an interview, because the record comes out in a couple of days. So we're doing that to be a part of the promotion for the album. So I'll definitely mention it to him. Like, hey, just keep this in mind, because I think the two sounds are awesome, because you can have a tour with the entire package sounding the same, that's cool, it can get kind of dull, but to have just a little bit of a different sound, I think that goes a long way.
Dude, I would love that for sure. Their vocal performance is just so good live too, just any harmonies, just Lemus singing is so sick. And then the mm-hmm. Fallout Boy cover.
Yo, yeah, I tell them, I'm like, dude, I'm like, because when they played the other night, they weren't gonna cover Fall Out Boy, and I was like, why?
It's so sick.
I was like, why do I have to bug you to do this? You guys see the reaction you get when you cover Fall Out Boy? Like, this should be a staple in your set. And they're just like, they're like, all right, like, I guess we'll do it. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then they And I was talking to Ben, their bass player. Shout out Ben. He's super talented. And he asked me, he's like, hey, like, is Dead on Arrival like okay for tonight? And I'm like, dude, I was like, I don't care. Cover any Fall Out Boy song, I'm there.
That means they've got more in the tank than just the one, which is, it's so sick. Well, that's a good pick too.
Yeah, they maybe it's been a year at this point, or maybe in October will be a year, but they did like a Halloween set and it was a full Fall Out Boy cover set. So they know, they know a bunch of Fall Out Boy songs. But yeah, so I asked just because I'm a huge fan of Fall Out Boy and Stateside, and they did it. And once again, all like a bunch of kids in the room knew the words and it was a crazy reaction. So I always tell them, like, dude, don't even make it a question. You should just throw it in there. It's crazy.
Question for you. What do you think the best Fall Out Boy record is?
Oh, Take This to Your Grave.
Nice.
Yeah. Cause
it's such a classic.
Yeah. And just like that style, like pop punk, that's just like my favorite. And then even, that was like in my formative years, right? I was just like a young kid in high school, just trying to figure it out, and just having that record, it was just amazing. Like that record for me, like there's so many good memories, and I have like one very bad memory because like they were touring on that record, and I've told the story before, but they were touring on that record with Matchbook Romance, and where I lived, there was a girl who went to the same high school as me, and she lived on the same street as me, and I remember at school she asked me, she's like, hey, like I know you like this kind of music, like my mom's taking me to see Matchbook Romance and Fall Out Boy tonight, do you want to come? And I was like, oh shit, because I didn't drive back then. We had been like freshmen or sophomores, I can't remember what year we were in, but I was like, yes, but I have to ask my mom because I was still a kid, so like I needed permission, I needed money. And I went and asked my mom, and my mom said no because she didn't know the girl up the street, and also she didn't want me going so far with people she didn't know on like a school night. Yeah. And I just never forgave my mom for that. Like I'm still sour about it to this day, because like they toured on that, and then they just continued to get bigger and bigger, and they never, you know, and for them to be on tour on Take This to Your Grave, that was like a special moment in time. So it sucks, but I love that record, and like, you know, they've had good records after that, but these days, like the more like modern Fall Out Boy stuff, I'm just not a fan of.
Yeah, it's a gotta spin it once, and then I'm like, I don't have to come back to it.
Yeah. Like I forgot who they just covered. They just released like a cover song, and just not.
We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yes. But like with like modern lyrics, and I was just like, what is this?
Yeah, I played, and I was like, oh, that's enough for me.
Yeah, like I was like driving like to work or something, and I was like, oh, cool, new Fall Out Boy, because like I'm always interested, right? Because they're so talented, and I'm always wondering, like, will they ever go back to that well? Which they probably never will, which I don't blame them, right? They're so successful, and they're so far past Take This to Your Grave. Like, why would they want to go back to that? And, you know, they're all older. Life's way different, so, like, I get it. But I would just have that glimmer of hope, like, maybe one day they'll just surprise us with, like, an old-school Fall Out Boy record.
Respect to them, though, for playing, like, songs off Take This to Your Grave live still. Have you seen the set list for this tour they're doing right now?
Yeah. I have a friend from Florida, and she's like super into Fall Out Boy. So she's like, well, you know, like I love like those first couple of records, but I'm not like part of like the fandom following all like the little communities and stuff.
Yeah.
But she is. So I get to see like all like the crazy stuff like because of her posts. So yeah. No, 100%. Like this tour seems like it's really like crazy, like a really cool set list.
I wanted to go so bad. I'm going to be out of town by the time they come through Virginia, but it looks so cool.
Yeah. You know, I kind of regret like the one time that I was actually able to see Fall Out Boy. I was like, just not a fan of the set list. So I just like stepped, and this was like they played like a big like arena. So I just like stepped outside. I was like, I don't want to witness this, because like, I don't want my only memory of seeing Fall Out Boy live is like this weird set list that I'm not a fan of. So let me just, you know, save that special first time like for another show. So I still haven't seen them to this day.
Yeah, me neither.
Damn. And where are you going to be at when they're passing through?
Dude, they're playing two Virginia dates, which is like unheard of. Mm-hmm. They're playing on like both, so they're playing Northern Virginia, and they're playing like over by the beach.
Okay.
And of course I'm going to be out of state. It's like next week I'm going to be in like North Carolina.
Interesting. What's in North Carolina?
Just the beach. Outer Banks over there. I'm just going there for like a week, and of course it happens to be like lining up with the 1 week that they're in Virginia.
Interesting. The last time I was in North Carolina I had a 12-hour layover, which was which was terrible, right? And I'm never doing something like that again. And I was traveling to a hardcore show. Where the fuck was I going? I can't remember where I was going, but everyone that I know in North Carolina was going to the same show as me, so nobody was in town, so I couldn't just leave the airport and go hang out in North Carolina. So I literally just sat in the airport and like watched Netflix and like played some video games on my laptop, and it was terrible. Just like, you know, and that's like, you know, watching Netflix, playing video games, that stuff's fine to pass the time, but just knowing that I'm like trapped in like this airport in a state that I'm just not familiar with, I don't really know anyone that's around or anything to do. It's probably like it might have been like my second or third time in North Carolina. It was just terrible.
So you're not missing much. There's not much down there,
really.
Not a whole lot to do.
And how far is that from you? Are you driving? Are you flying?
That's like 2 hours driving.
That's not bad.
Just to like get into North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's about maybe even less than that. I don't know. So like any major city, it's probably like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Interesting. So going to the beach, the beaches are really nice out there.
They're nicer when you get out of Virginia.
Okay. Cause
Virginia Beach is cool, but it's like the beach itself, like the ocean front, is like nothing crazy.
Interesting. See, I'm so spoiled because I live so close to the beach. Like my thing is like, okay, like let's try to get to the beach at least like once every summer. Because where I grew up, which isn't too far from here, I grew up in the Palm Springs area. If we wanted to do the beach, it would be like an all day thing, right? Like we had to wake up early, drive out to the beach to beat traffic and to get a good spot on the beach, because, you know, we would only go during the summer. But now it's like I could go to the beach any day. It's like 20 minutes down the road. But yeah, since summer has started, I have not been to the beach yet. So maybe at some point I'll get down there and see the vibes. And I feel like the beaches out here, like they, like, you know, historically, right, California is supposed to have nice beaches. I feel like I'm in the part of California that has like probably like the worst beaches. Because like the closest beach to me is like Huntington Beach, and it's a little not the biggest fan of being down there. So like if I go to the beach, I'd rather go down to like Laguna, where it's like super super nice, not so weird and trashy. But best beaches in the world are in Pensacola, Florida.
I feel like we've been there before. I can't remember. What is that, towards the top or bottom of Florida?
I think it's like, I want to say near like the panhandle, kind of.
Or I have a, like a weird feeling we've been somewhere around there.
Yeah, I went out there. I was staying with my buddy Carter, shout out From Within Records, and he had mentioned like, yo, like these are the best beaches in the world. And I thought he was just full of shit because it's his local beach, you know, you have to rep your shit. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, whatever, like I live in California, like those are really nice beaches, so like we'll see. And I remember we parked and we get to the beach and I'm like, oh wow, like the sand is really clean, like it's like white sand. And then we start walking on the sand and you can hear like the sand crunching, which I'm not used to, because like back home, like I'm used to like, you know, there being like a ton of trash and we're focusing on not stepping on random stuff. But out there it was just so clean. So I'm like, oh wow, this is actually really nice. And then once we hit the water was just nice and warm, versus like out here the water is always freezing. So I was like, okay, Carter is definitely right, like these beaches are amazing. If I live near these beaches, like where they're nice and clean, the water is like you know, swimmable, like I'm so down. So shout out Pensacola.
Yeah, we sound like we're in the same boat. Virginia Beach is pretty similar to what you're describing, beaches from where you're at. It's the cool thing about it is like it's just kind of close. It's like everything is like 2 hours away from where we are in Richmond. It's like 2 hours to Baltimore, 2 hours to the beach, 2 hours to North Carolina, and then I don't know why you'd go 2 hours west. There's not much west except like the mountains.
Okay,
if you just want to go check that out. But yeah, it's not like, it's just convenient, I guess. Like nothing's that far.
Yeah, and I feel like that's nice, because I, you know, 2 hours, that's very doable, right? I feel like anything past 3 hours is when I kind of get turned off, because I don't want to be sitting in a car for that long. Or like, I don't mind sitting, but like most of the time when I'm going to stuff, like I'm driving, so I'm like, I don't want to drive. You know, when it's 3 hours, you got to think that's like 6 hours round trip, and if we're doing it in a day, that's just, you know, this is a lot of driving that I just don't like doing. But sometimes like when I was growing up, like I mentioned earlier, when I was living out in the Palm Springs area, it, like 2 hours was normal just to get to a show. So like we had no other choice. But now that I live here in Orange County, I could get to a good show at like 30 minutes in any direction. There's like a really good show happening.
That's so sick. I'm jealous.
Yeah, but I'm jealous of you too, because like, you know, like California, like shout out to all the awesome scenes in California. You know, they're about like, you know, pretty close to each other. And then, you know, obviously when you get or want to go further north to like the Bay and stuff, that becomes like the longer drives. But outside of that, if you want to get to like Arizona, that's a pretty far drive. And then even getting out to the Vegas scene, that's a far drive. But like for you, like living so close to so many cool scenes and they're not that far away, I think that's a really cool thing. Because out here, like, yeah, like we have these all these awesome scenes in California and they're not that far apart, but they're all so similar, which is cool. So it kind of feels like we just had like one giant scene. But out in your area, like when you go to like different states and you go to all these different scenes, they're actually like different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it is very cool. I don't visit much outside, but when I do, it's like Baltimore's not that far. So mm-hmm. It's cool to go see a couple shows in Baltimore every now and then. Philly and Jersey are only like 4 hours away from here.
Okay.
On like a good day. So I don't get to make the trip as often as I'd like, but it is cool to know that like if I want to, it's like, and then New York's only like 6 hours.
Okay. That's all doable. Yeah. Getting to like the four and like, you know, above range, like, I'm like, all right, cool. Like I would do it if I like was staying and not doing it all in one day. Cause it's like 4 hours in one day, that's nothing. But if I had to do like, cause I've done it before, like when we were younger, when I actually, was like way more reckless and didn't need sleep, I would do like a day trip to Vegas just for a show and come back and have work the next day and just be completely fine. But now that I'm a little bit older, I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't care who's playing, whatever. I'm just going to miss it because I can't do it.
Yeah. If I work the next day, it's hard for me to drive like 10 minutes down the road.
Yeah. No, even going to the Stateside show the other night, I woke up late for work the following day, which, you know, once I'm late, like whatever, I just deal with it. But it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like there's no way I can function normal when I am out late the night before when I have work the next day.
For sure.
Okay. But as far as the local scene in your area, can you talk about some of like your favorite local bands?
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I'm racking my brain now. We have some friends in a band called Sleeve.
Sleeve, okay. I gotta write this down, so I gotta check these bands out.
Yeah, they're really cool. Just a lot of our homies that have always supported us since we started doing this.
Okay.
And then just like a lot of hardcore bands popping off right now in Richmond. We've got Downfall, we've got Killing Pace,
mm-hmm.
We've got Blazing Tomb, we've got Division of Mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still racking my brain.
I can't get over that band, Richmond Vampire. I always tell like anytime,
dude, yeah.
I have people on from your area, because I just had on some of the guys from Dimension 6, and I'm like, dude,
right, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I love Richmond Vampire.
Yeah, Richmond Vampire's tight. They've been playing a lot of shows. That demo tape they put out is really sick.
100%.
And then yeah, the new Dimension 6 tape is really cool.
Yes, shout out Dimension 6. I love those guys. Love that band.
Yeah, and then one of my coworkers, he actually is in like a newer band. They're called Wasted Space.
Ooh,
what kind of? It's just like a bunch of. It's like a fast hardcore band. It's just like a bunch of kids playing an E standard. It's really tight. They're definitely worth checking out. They just put out a demo earlier this year, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm saying it now. It's a self-titled demo.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good hardcore popping off right now in Richmond.
Yeah, like we mentioned at the very beginning, like I feel like Richmond has always had a really cool scene. There's always been good bands. Like as far back as I can remember, right? Like even in like my early days of getting into hardcore, just being so fascinated by like bands like Down to Nothing, 1033.
Of course.
And then, you know, just to this day, like there's never been a time when I looked at your scene and been like, wow, that seems whack. It's like, no, there's always something good going on out there.
Yeah, finding out there was a straight edge band that sang about Richmond Mm-hmm. Like it just blew my mind. I was like, this is real, this exists. Mm-hmm. So I've been obsessed with Down to Nothing since I kind of found out what Straight Edge was.
And I'm just curious, how did you find out about Straight Edge?
Well, I was kind of sober like my entire life. Mm-hmm. I didn't find out what Straight Edge really was till I was like 16, 17 maybe. I had a boss at the time. Okay. At my old job that kind of explained it to me, and it wasn't just like, hey, it's not just being sober, it's like claiming this as a lifestyle. And they kind of put me onto a lot of different bands, which was really helpful at the time. We had bands like Breakaway, mm-hmm. And Down to Nothing and bands like that, where I was like, okay, there's bands in my area with the same mindset as me, like singing about what I want to hear. So I've just been hooked on that kind of stuff since, yeah, I guess 5-6 years.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember getting into hardcore, and that's how I found out about Straight Edge, was just getting into hardcore and being like, oh, like, why are these people, like, you know, talking about this thing called Straight Edge and XXX, whatever. And back then, I was already not into doing anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've never smoked. I drank like once in my life, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. There's like this subculture within the subculture that I'm like even like finding out about. And I was like, this is really awesome. And like listening to a band like Throwdown, right? I feel like they're the reason why I took being Straight Edge serious, just because they were a band that I was seeing regularly at the time. They weren't that far away from where I was growing up, right? Because I was going to see them locally. I was like, oh, this is like really cool. This is something that I can, you know, be a part of and feel proud about, like representing. And then finding out that there was like local kids like to where I lived that were also Straight Edge, I'm like, oh cool, like this is crazy, like maybe you know, like we'll have like a closer bond. And then, you know, and then we find out that there was like a bunch of us that were Straight Edge, and then we just started hanging out together. And yeah, it's always just been this thing that's been there in my life, something that's I feel like really important to me. So I think it's really cool, like whenever I meet anybody that's still Straight Edge to this day.
Dude, not many left.
Yeah, no, trust me. Being Straight Edge for so long and just hearing about people selling out, and it doesn't faze me anymore, because I've like seen so many people that I like respected and like looked up to like sell out. I'm like, okay, cool, like I guess they weren't as down as I thought, which is fine. You know, people make their own choices, and I'm not going to be too judgmental. But for me, it's like, all right, cool. Like, I'm just going to keep it moving. Like, I'm not going to want to put my beliefs into question just because somebody else like doesn't care anymore.
100%. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing like a Straight Edge band?
Dude. Yeah. I mean, it's just at this point, getting enough Straight Edge people that are down. It's like we can find people that want to do it, but like I would love to, because I've got a few Straight Edge homies that are down. I've got someone for drums, I've got my homie that wants to sing, and we've just run out of Straight Edge people that want to do it.
All right, you gotta tap into the youth, see who's coming up that's Straight Edge that wants to be real and hopefully represent it right.
Yeah, just got to put a bunch of kids on.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, yeah, no, trust me, I understand, because even out here, when I think about Straight Edge bands, like the only band honestly that comes to mind that's like an active like more modern band is Firestarter. But outside of them, I'm like trying to think like who's actually like Straight Edge that's like you know, representing it, having it on their merch and their lyrics and stuff, and I'm trying to think, I can't even think of anybody else off the top of my head, but if there are, I apologize that I'm not coming to, or it's not coming to my mind. But I don't know, there's some cool Straight Edge bands still though. But yeah, like I said, Firestarter is probably like one of my favorite modern bands from out here. Like whenever I talk about bands to check out from California, like they're like always at the top of my list to mention, just because I feel like they've always been so talented. Even when you go back to their demo, I always like after seeing them live, because I had heard about this new band popping up, and it's, you know, seeing LA Straight Edge and stuff. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I'm keep my eye on it. And then when I got to see them, this is like when shows started happening again. Scowl and Zulu were going on this tour, and it was happening at this spot that wasn't too far from where I lived. It was the only show that ever happened in this spot. I can't even remember the name of it, but I'm like, whatever, shows are kind of coming back. This is like one of the first shows you could go to without getting canceled, whatever. So I went because obviously I'm a huge fan of Scowl. I love Zulu. And Firestarter was on the bill. So I'm like, cool, like I get to see this band that people have been talking about. And I remember seeing them, and the acoustics in the venue sucked, right? Everybody sounded like shit. Like, literally everybody sounded like shit. So I was just like, okay, like, they sound like they could be good, but I'm not gonna, you know, kind of give my final grade because the venue sucks. And but then just kind of like following them after that, seeing them at other venues and listening to their you know, newer stuff coming out, I'm like, yeah, like, this band has it. Like, they're so fucking sick.
I gotta check them out. I haven't heard of them.
Okay, yeah, definitely check them out. They're just getting out. Like, they're about to do a couple dates in Texas, and I know they have an East Coast run coming up. But I'm not sure if they're hitting your area, because I know they're doing Philly, but I'm not sure where else they're playing. Hold on. Now I'm gonna look this up, because this is gonna bother me if I can't.
Dude, if they're coming to Richmond, anywhere near, I'll swing by if I'm in the area.
Hold on, let me see. I'm gonna look up, because I don't think, I don't know, do they have an I think they have an Instagram. Firestarter. I think it's Firestarter, like XXX. Well, I can't even spell. Yeah, but just for like a band like that to just like have like the support of everybody out here. Okay, their Instagram is not coming up. Hold on. I know their singer has a Twitter. I know he's posted their stuff recently. Well, let's see. Okay, they're playing Richmond August 12th. I'm not sure who's on the lineup, but they're playing Richmond.
I think, yeah, we'll be here. I think we're pre-proing for some songs that day. But does it say where at?
No, it doesn't.
I'll find out.
Yeah, I'm sure. Obviously, like, you're involved in the local scene, so I'm sure it's not going to be that hard to find out. But yeah, August 12th, they'll be out in Richmond. Super sick band, so I highly suggest you check them out. They I feel like they would check all the boxes for things that you're into, so... You should be into them, and they're all really nice people too. That's another thing too, is like when I you know, meet people like you, and when I meet these kids in Firestarter, and just to find out that not only are they talented, but they're like, you know, nice people too, like, it makes me like them even more.
That's sick.
Okay, but outside of that, I'm curious, because before we started recording, I complimented your equipment, but I'm curious, do you just do stuff like music stuff at home? Is that why you have this kind of equipment?
Yeah, I it's the only expensive thing is in frame, which is so funny. My girlfriend was nice enough to get this mic for me.
Oh wow, she must really like you.
Dude, yeah, she hooked it up for sure. I was like, please, I need something. But no, I use this just like for demoing stuff. I've got like a little home studio, or just like little studio monitors, and this is like my little office space. But yeah, it's just this into like a Focusrite. And you can see, I don't know if people can tell, but I've got like the Focusrite headset on right now, which is so funny.
I didn't even know they made headsets, but that is funny, because
game is like the bundle that comes with the interface. You get like a headset to go with it.
That's so funny. I started with a Focusrite, but wait, so okay, so now I'm gonna like ask, like, you know, technical stuff, like, do you have like a cloud lifter or something to power your mic?
Nope.
Interesting.
Straight in.
Okay, see, and now you have me curious, because like when I, so like this wasn't my first microphone that I started with. Like this, like, you know, I started with a condenser mic. So if people go back to the earlier days of the podcast, you'll notice that the audio quality is different, because I use a different microphone, and there was no video back then, so you couldn't tell like what kind of mic that I had. But like once I decided to take this more serious, and I was like, all right, cool, like this is something that I really want to do. And I want to take my Twitch stuff. I used to go on Twitch, whatever. I wanted to get like just like a step up, right? Because like the microphone that I had was like maybe $120 like microphone, which is like a normal nice starting microphone. And then when I upgraded, I was having trouble with just like my audio, because I felt like the Focusrite because I had like the solo version, like, you know, like the really small one. Yeah. And I just felt like it wasn't like giving me enough like power to like sound good with my mic. And this was like early days, so like I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I remember I bought a cloud lifter and I still couldn't really tell a difference. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm doing something wrong. So I just remember I like returned everything and I ended up buying like another like popular mixer that a lot of like streamers use. So that's like what I still have to this day, like the Go XLR Mini, which I'm about to upgrade because they just they just like got rid of like their like streaming department or something. So I got to get like a more modern mixer because the mine's like probably like 4 or 5 years old at this point. So that's why I was just curious about you having a cloud lifter or anything.
I've thought about it just because I've used this to like demo vocals before and it always is kind of quiet.
Okay.
And it's something that I've like thought about, but instead I've just dealt with it. And right now it's just plugged straight into the folk. I think it's the solo. I can't tell you. I think it's the Scarlett solo. Mm-hmm. And I just have the volume knob cranked all the way up. And it works fine for just like normal speaking. But I think if I ever tried to like track anything with this, it would just blow the gain out.
Okay. Now I'm curious, like the reason why I got this microphone is because these are the type of microphones they use on like the Joe Rogan Experience. Like I'm a huge fan of Joe Rogan. I've listened to every episode of his podcast, which is crazy. People think I'm crazy because I listen to Joe Rogan, whatever. But I'm just curious, how did you come to want that microphone?
This is just like, I feel like it's like the standard now. I feel like everyone has, if it's not like a 58, it's this.
Okay.
And like, I feel like just any recording with it it sounds good. So I was like, I need a mic and I got hooked up.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Like I've, cause I've had this mic for like maybe like two years at this point. And I've always, I always keep my like, eye on the market, because I love technology. So I'm just like, I wonder if there's like anything else that's out there that's good. But it's just like, it does seem that like there are a lot of companies trying to like replicate this mic, even its sound. And it just seems like there's a lot of mics out there that are in the similar like price point, but not really offering anything new or exciting. So I'm just like, all right, like, as much as I want to buy a new mic just to try it out, I was like, I'm fine with just keeping this one.
Yeah.
For now. Because who knows?
I like knew nothing about any of this to like thrifting a mic at like a yard sale for like $5.
Okay.
And that was my like go-to mic for I think like 4 years. Because I just used that. Because it just got the job done. And I was like, I think it's time to upgrade.
And was that mic USB or was it XLR?
It was XLR.
Oh, $5.
I have no idea what it was. I was just like, yo, a mic for $5. This is sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I always, because like, people will reach out and like ask for like podcast advice, like what kind of equipment they should get, whatever. And I always tell them, like, hey, like whatever you're willing to spend, I can kind of point you in the right direction. But like for what I did, I didn't start with like the top of the line stuff right from jump, just because I didn't know if I was going to take it serious. So if you don't know, like I would just suggest, getting some cheaper, more capable stuff at the start, just so you're not wasting money. And then if you find that here you are like many months or many years later still doing it, then I feel like it would be a good move to upgrade, just depending on what people want to spend. But it's just like, yeah, that's what I always suggest, because because people will reach out and I always try to give them like the honest like answer that I can, and I always tell them about like how I ended up here with what I have. And not like the most expensive, so like these headphones were like an accident, because I originally bought I forget the name of the brand, but I remember I bought these wireless headphones. Like, for anybody who like watches YouTube or knows anything about YouTube, there's this like really popular streamer called KSI. He's like, part owner of like Prime Energy and all that stuff. He has these headphones and they're wireless, and they're like a gaming headset. Like I have friends who own them, and I wanted them because I'm like, oh, it's so cool, because I hate being like wired. Like I'm constantly like readjusting this cord, right? Like people, you can see in the video, I do it all the fucking time. I hate that cord. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna buy those wireless headphones. And I bought them, but it just turns out that the one pair that I bought, were like the like, you know, one in like 100 chance that like your headphone wasn't going to be able to pair with the base station, so like it's just not going to work. And I remember I like trouble like, you know, shoot like the headphones for like hours. I was on Reddit and like YouTube trying to figure out everything that was going wrong and could not figure it out. So I ended up like returning them and then buying these for like half off, which is fine. Like, you know, they get the job done. But at some point I would like to go wireless, something with like very low latency. Cause there was a time where like I, you know, was able to buy like a transmitter receiver and was using like the wireless Bluetooth headphones that I used for, you know, while I was at work, but like the latency was so bad that like I couldn't, like I was like the guests wouldn't have been able to tell, but like for me I could see the lag like in my like video and it would just fuck my brain up and I could not do it because like I, you know, focus on the screen, right? Like I look at your camera, look at my camera, mm-hmm. and to be speaking to the guests and saying that like my mouth and like my what I was hearing like wasn't matching up, it was just such a mind fuck. I was like, I can't do this. So that's why I went back to being wired. But at some point maybe I'm due for an upgrade. Like I said, like my mixer, like the company just fired like the whole streamer division, so I got to get a new mixer, so something like longevity, right? Because at some point there's going to be no support for this and it's going to get outdated, so I want to get something that I'll be able to use long term, right? Because like I said, this thing's old, it's still reliable, but there's like since this there's like better mixers that have come out, I just haven't upgraded.
Yeah, I'm like technology stupid, so if I can't just like plug it in and go, I'm like, I gotta return this.
Yo, dude, I feel like I'm still there, but like I watch people like there's this guy on YouTube, his name's like Senpai Gaming. He's like my resource. He knows everything. I feel like he does a really great job of like breaking down like new tech and like giving like honest reviews. Obviously there's like paid reviews and non-paid reviews, but I feel like he gives like an honest answer and he tells you exactly like what kind of equipment he's using. So like through him and like just other like, you know, like Reddit and stuff, I've been able to make it this far. So like I'm not like some expert, like whenever I get something new or want to try something new, like yeah, like I still have to go and you know, figure it out and get some assistance.
Shout out Reddit.
Yo. shout out.
There's everything on there.
Yeah, seriously, if there's anything you need to do, it's 100% it's on YouTube or it's on Reddit. There's people that I trip out like maybe a couple of weeks ago, right? Like I play Street Fighter, I play a lot, like play every fighting game, but I have like this arcade stick and something was wrong with like the joystick. It was just like the down motion like wasn't registering, so I was like, fuck, this is bad, like is my joystick like fried? Because I've had it for like probably like 7 years and I was like, damn it, I was like, this is like a really expensive controller, am I gonna have to buy a new one? And I went on YouTube and I found this video that was like literally like 13 years old of like this guy like, you know, showing you how to maintenance like your joystick, but he wasn't doing it on a fight stick, he was doing it on an arcade cabinet, but it was like, you know, like here, I'll show you, I have it right here off camera. So he was like showing how to like maintenance like your joystick, you know, because this is what you do at the arcades. So mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, like I can definitely reference this and like it'll be fine. So like this is like, you know, super easy to like maintenance, right? Like this thing like pops up and you can like get under the hood. But he like explained like how everything works and showed how to take this apart. And I didn't do anything, you know, like that I thought fixed it, but just taking it apart and putting it back together, like I don't know what effect that had, but when I plugged it back in, like everything was working as normal. But because of that 12-year-old video, it showed me how to take this apart. Like I didn't even know that, you know, certain things are twisted in certain ways. It was just like very surprising to me that I'm like, wow. I was like, here I am in 2023, this video came out 13 years ago and it's still giving me some education.
Dude, I feel like I do that with my car. Every time I see something or a light comes on, there's like a 15-year-old video that shows me exactly what's wrong.
Okay. What kind of car do you have?
Dude, I drive a Honda Civic and it's the biggest pain in my ass. Yep. It shouldn't be.
I think I had like a 2000 Honda and I did the same thing. Like I remember I was like driving home from work one day and like one of like my hoses to like my like radiator like exploded. And like luckily I had like tape in my car, so I just like taped the hose and I was able to like make it home. But then just going on YouTube and Luckily, I had roommates who were like down to like do a bunch of DIY stuff. So like we went to like AutoZone and bought a bunch of tubes and stuff. And it wasn't like the craziest fix, but for me, just not knowing and having that resource, like I'm surprised that it's like so like that it's free.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You said you play fighting. You play Smash at all?
Yes, I've challenged Dewey. Nice. Are you familiar with Dewey from your area? He's in like No Way Out. He runs
the name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he has the Flonk the Flock Inc. podcast.
Word.
He's been dodging me, but I am curious. Yes, I love Smash Brothers.
What do you play? Do you play the new ones, old ones?
I could play Melee.
Word.
Like 64, I'll stay away from. It's too too slow, kind of weird. Melee.
That's just like a fun thing when friends are around.
Yeah.
Just like boot it up.
And Melee is amazing. Skip Brawl.
Of course.
Yeah, Skip Brawl. That one's weird. What was the one after that?
Smash 4.
Yeah, Smash
4. Didn't play it.
Yeah, that one was kind of weird too. But then, so yeah, so Melee and Ultimate. Because Ultimate, yeah. I feel like, is perfect. Sick. Yeah. Now, who do you use? Now I'm curious.
Dude, I love playing K. Rool.
Oh, okay. No, for sure. No, great character.
I'm not good at all. It's just like something fun to do on the side. They have like local tournaments here every week. And some weeks I make it, some weeks I don't. But every time I go, like I never do good. I go and have fun and play some like friendlies.
Hey, I feel like that's the most important thing, as long as you're having fun, right?
Definitely.
That's awesome. Friendlies. Yeah. No, I love Smash Brothers. You know, living out here in California, there's like you've heard of Mango.
Yeah
dude, so I'm like I'm in Disneyland, right? Me and my friends are leaving, and Mango and like his crew, right? I'm not sure, maybe it's like his wife or his girlfriend, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like her and like a bunch of their homies, and like, you know, they're coming, like, you know, like we're walking like, you know, towards each other, and I don't give a fuck. That's fucking Mango. That's C9 Mango. So I'm like we're in the middle of Disneyland, and I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, and normally I don't do this, right? Because I've seen like tons of fucking famous people, but like, this is just like, this is, you know, one of the five gods. So I'm just like,
that's the GOAT.
Yeah. No, in my opinion, I'm like, Mango's the fucking best Melee player ever. So I freak the fuck out. My friend doesn't know what the fuck I'm doing. And all his friends are losing their shit because they're like, oh my God, like this guy's like so pumped to see Mango. And he was just so nice, right? Like, just did not have to give me the time of day. But just the fact that he did, I was like, this makes me, you know, like I said, meeting somebody who I'm like a fan of and just finding out that they're just like nice people, like normally, it just makes me like them even more. So shout out Mango. It was just so cool because I was freaking out because you know, it's you know, he's not like a A-list celebrity or whatever, but just being such a fan of like video games, fighting games, and just being someone who you know, has done something so great, I'm just like, I'm gonna freak out. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I would too.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, but Melee's fun. You know, the Switch's life cycle is, I feel like it should be coming to an end pretty soon. And yeah. I'm always curious. And I'm always wondering, because people might not remember, but back when, like, you know, Xbox, PS2, and GameCube were a thing, like Nintendo was like an actual like competitor, you know, to Sony and Microsoft. But I feel like these days they just kind of fell back and done their own things. Like since like the Wii, they've been kind of like more like casual, family friendly type stuff. But and even like their hardware, which isn't like, it's not even like modern, right? If you look at how powerful the Switch is compared to what a PS5. Or even a PS4 or Xbox, you know, One, whatever. It's just like they're so behind, and obviously, like that's by choice because they have access to, you know, better hardware. They just choose to not be in that lane anymore. And I'm always wondering if like Nintendo will ever get back to wanting to be like in direct competition with Sony and Microsoft, trying to be like the number one gaming company. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But these days, it's just like they're all turning into like glorified, like, you know, computers anyways, right? Because, you know, these days, like, the majority of people just have a PC.
Yeah, I've always been like a Nintendo sucker. I think the only thing I skipped out on was like the Wii U, but
okay,
I feel like I just always come back. And they're right, it's just like all of their games are like so just familiar that it's just, you know, you see Mario, you're like, all right, I gotta play that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's like a big benefit of theirs is that they have these like legendary IPs like Mario, Zelda, and even something like Smash Brothers that like you know when those things come out it's going to be a big deal, and even Pokemon, right? Like they've managed to have their hands on Pokemon from the very beginning, which is nice and also crazy to think about too, right? Because Pokemon's never been on a Xbox or a PlayStation since like Fire Red and was it Blue? Well, I don't know what they called Blue back then.
What is that? For the Game Boy, what, Sapphire?
No. Like the original Game Boy. Because remember, because it was red. Or was it just red and blue?
There was yellow, red, and blue.
Okay. But, yeah, Nintendo's cool. Like, growing up, I had a Sega. Shout out Sega Genesis. That's, like, really old school. But then, like, I had a Nintendo 64. And then I skipped GameCube. I skipped the Wii. I got a Wii U. And then I had...
You're like one of the 10 people to buy one.
Well, I think I only bought one because I didn't have a Wii, right? Because if you remember, like the Wii U wasn't that big of a step up. You just had this stupid controller, which, you know, which was nice. Like, but it still wasn't like the coolest thing. And then I had a Switch. I think Switch was really fucking awesome. But I just... Even these days, like I just don't have time to do a whole lot. Like even just normal like gaming, like you know, I play on PC. Like 90% of the games that I own are on Steam, and like this like summer Steam sale just happened. I bought some games that I've been wanting all year. Still haven't had a chance to play them just because I'm so busy and I'm playing like other stuff too. So it's like I have like this long queue of games in my library that I will get to eventually, hopefully before I die.
I didn't ask, who do you main in Smash?
Peach.
Really?
Yeah.
In Melee or Ultimate?
So Peach for sure and Melee, but in Ultimate I like Peach, but what the fuck is that girl's name? She has like purple hair. Hold on, I have to like look her up now. Yeah, she's like from Fire Emblem.
One of the Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah, there's like so many Fire Emblem characters.
There's a lot.
Yeah, hold on. But you know what's crazy is I haven't played Smash in so long. I haven't even got to use Sora.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish I had more time to dive into that stuff because my roommate loves playing Melee, and I would love to like get more into it. It's just like so time consuming.
Okay, all right. Let me find this girl. Where is she? I think she has purple hair. I'm going down the list right now.
I'm like trying to think of them all. There's Lucina.
That's it.
Lucina.
Yes. Good old Lucina. And I'm going through the characters. I forgot, but I like playing. I feel like once you know how to play Smash Brothers, you can kind of use anybody. You know.
Yeah.
Because like think about like inputs, it's not like super complicated. It can be, but it's not like. Super complicated, but when I think about fun characters like Villager from Animal Crossing, because I'm a huge fan of Animal Crossing, I'm like, yes, this guy is so stupid and also very fun to use.
Dude, I love just like playing against people that don't really play and doing like the Donkey Kong pick them up and walk off the stage.
I just jump off the stage with me.
Yeah. So fun.
Yeah, but there's always like people, I'm like, how has there been so many Smash games and they haven't like put certain people in, and you think about like the roster is like insane, which is really fun, but also at the same time it's like, damn, like how has there not been like Tom Nook from Animal Crossing is like a shoe-in.
I want Waluigi.
Yes, because they have Wario, they literally have like, you know, like almost like everybody from like the Mario line, but it's just like, yeah, Waluigi's just not getting any love. But then they can bring in, and yeah, Smash is like the craziest crossover game in history, because right, they got like Street Fighter characters, Final Fantasy characters, Tekken characters, now Kingdom Hearts, and it's
crazy. Minecraft.
Yes, I forgot about Minecraft. What the hell?
And that's so sick.
Yeah. For anybody, and like I don't know anybody who's like anti-Smash. I feel like anybody who's like played it, like, yeah, like Smash is fun, which is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, crazy game. Hopefully because for them to have like pulled off the roster that they did in Ultimate, I'm like, where do they go for the next one? Because I feel like the next one is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, either it's got to be something like even expanded on that, or they're just done.
That would be a sad day. But I don't know, because dude, I'm 34. When I was in high school, I'm like looking forward to the weekends. We're going to like my buddy Mitch's house, my buddy Nick's house, to see who's like the best Melee player in our friend group, right? And then there was times where we found like other like people that we weren't even friends with, but we heard that they played Melee, so we would like challenge them and like beat them and stuff, and like just discovering like wave dashing and stuff like that, and like just like trying to like level up our game. And just to know that here we are in 2023 and like that game is still being played like competitively, it's crazy but cool.
It's so broken but in like such a fun way.
Yeah, 100%. But for like a new player, for them to be able to discover that game and to learn and to understand like all those like technical aspects, learning matchups and stuff, you know, it's still really cool. Because when you think about something like a sport, right, like basketball, football, you know, from its inception to now, like, yeah, like there's been like rule changes, but like it's still pretty basic. There's like just like a meta to it, right? Like it changes, like, you know, style changes like every year, but like I feel like the base of everything is still pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen the Smash Brothers documentary?
I don't think
it's on YouTube.
I don't think I have.
Hold on, I gotta look this up. So if you haven't seen it, I've watched it like four times because it's pretty interesting. Hold on, what is it called?
I love watching this one dude. He just like goes into like the weirdest like secrets and things you wouldn't ever know unless you like actually like looked for them.
Yeah. Okay. And mind you, this is like long documentary because they go through like a pretty good history. But it's called I don't know if you can see that, like the Smash Brothers documentary. It's like 4 hours. Highly recommend it. It's really entertaining because like
I gotta check it out.
Yeah. It's really good. And just seeing like, yeah, because they do like a really good job of covering like the early days of Smash and from like, you know, before like even like it was like super popular to like not like super current, because like I think that doc is like almost like 10 years old, but it's like, you know, to be able to look back at the early days of something that's still going on today, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you coming on the podcast today, Colin. This has been awesome. I had no idea you were a fan of Melee, but I'm very happy to talk about video games with anybody.
Dude, thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm serious. Well, I'm sitting down with Lemus from Stateside tomorrow. I'm going to tell him, like, yo, full U.S., Stateside, house and home, let's figure it out.
Yo, time and place, we're down.
Okay.
we'll figure something out.
Okay, I'll let them know, put you guys in contact, and hopefully it happens. I think that'd be really cool.
That would be sick.
But anything else before we go?
You can find House and Home on any streaming service, any social media platform. Check it out. Put out an EP last year. Listen to whatever. That's about it.
All right. Well, thank you, Colin, for your time today. Definitely appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll be back soon. Goodbye.